Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to answer your queries, your issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, and the answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, Professor, there's a question from a mother living in a non-Islamic society, and she's asking, is there any way that she can instill the principles of Islamic teachings in her children while living in a non-Islamic society?
Yes, basically, one of the challenges that everyone faces while living in a non-Muslim country in the West, that is how to bring up their children according to Islamic principles and values. Sometimes it seems that it may be easier to do so than in Islamic societies. Sometimes when we live in a minority, we live as a minority, we are very much concerned about our principles and our values, and we're always talking about them in front of our children, and we're trying to discuss ways and means to be able to protect our principles and values. Even our culture, maybe we belong to from the East, we are from an Eastern culture and we live in a Western society. We even try to maintain wear the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, we maintain that.
Right.
And sometimes we feel quite proud about that. So in the same way, sometimes it seems that we are, the children being brought up in the West by religious families, they may be more religious than children who are living in Islamic societies. Sometimes we have such examples. And unfortunately, in Islamic societies, sometimes these issues are taken for granted.
Right.
And parents think, look, we're living in an Islamic society in a Muslim country, so we are not faced with these challenges.
Right.
But we forget that today, especially in the era of social media, the wrong message is getting through to our children, even in living in the East, living in Islamic countries.
Right.
The cultural onslaught of the West is there in any case. But there, when you're living in a Western society, in a society which calls itself to be civilized, which is calls itself to be liberal.
Right.
And sometimes they claim to be profess human freedom, the freedom to...
Advocates. The advocates of rights.
Freedom of speech. And unfortunately, they even trample upon the Quran and burn the Holy Quran because they think it's the freedom of speech. So
right.
This is, everything is topsy-turvy over there. Everything is turned around
right.
on its head. So sometimes some families may feel the challenge and they take care of their children.
Right.
But are we taking care of the ritualistic practices, which are important? There's no doubt about them. We are just concerned with the rituals in a Western society that our children ritualistically follow a religion in the sense that they pray, they fast, they take care of those individual things which are there in personal life.
Right.
Or we're concerned about the overall way of living.
Right.
In the society where we can openly implement the principles of an Islamic society. So sometimes, as we see that in Western countries, there are a lot of Islamic centers where our children go to, where we ourselves go to, children go to those centers, and the days, the special days, special events, they are there.
Right.
They take part in those events. They feel the connection. They feel connected to their to their religion. But is that enough?
Is that enough or not? We'll explore that after a short break. Let's discuss more on that. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Said Salman Nakavi with us, and we're discussing about the problem of this mother who is living in a non-Islamic society and the challenges she faces in the upbringing of her children while living in non-Islamic society.
So if we want to really live a life, the Islamic way of life, then sometimes living in the West becomes a real challenge.
Right.
Doing everything according to what your religion says, especially in the face of something which is completely opposite to what we profess as Muslims.
Right.
And they do it in based on human rights, freedom of speech, freedom to do whatever they want to do. So this becomes a real challenge. So to be able to inoculate our children, we need to be very careful from the day they start, they come to this world. We need to, strengthen our attachment to God, to Allah
right.
Almighty ourselves.
Right. Professor, telling you an event of my own life, I won't say that I was brought up in a non-Islamic society, but I would definitely say it was a non-Shia society. While just a few days ago, I was sharing a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that the real Shias are those who have these particular qualities, like that of just see what they are doing at the time of Salat, just see how they manage to keep secrets, and just see how they help others. You can check a believer at these three places, a Shia believer. So if they fail in these phases, they are not Shias. And I got a call from a non-Shia colleague who was living in my society while I was there, and she was like, if that's the definition of being a Shia, then I think everyone living in our society where you were brought up are all Shias. So you are very right. The thing that is there's this identity crisis that many children face, because there's one thing that is portrayed maybe in the media, and especially today in the fast age of social media, which is not true picture of our Islam, which is not true picture of our beliefs, and that has to be faced first.
Yes, so the issue of identity is there, very much there in the West. I mean, you need to, when your children live in a society which is completely out of step with Islamic principles and Islamic qualities, yes, we may have certain universal principles, moral and ethical principles. But in one of the previous episodes, I was also trying to say, when I asked that when we pray to Allah Almighty, worship Him, they sometimes make fun of us. They may make fun of us. But is not that something which is based on morality? Is it not based obedience and worshipping Allah Almighty is something based on our very humanity? We say that human beings they need to thank anyone who has done something generous to them. They thank anyone who has given them a gift.
Right.
It's human. It's a human characteristic.
Basic ethic.
So it's an ethic. And when we worship Allah Almighty, when we bow down to Him, we are thanking Him.
Exactly. Well, Professor, we'll discuss more on that topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're discussing about the challenges the mothers or the parents face in the Islamic upbringing of their kids while living in non-Islamic societies. Yes, Professor, you were saying that sometimes people are mocked for just worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I remember, one of the non-Muslims asked me, why do you kiss the ground 5 times a day? Does that make sense? So you are actually answering that very particular question, saying that it's basically a way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thanking someone for something that has been given to you is a basic form of the moral values.
Exactly. When, of course, basically, as human beings, we can understand, even without any maybe divine guidance, just based on our understanding, our reasoning, our pure reasoning, that we need to discover who our bounty giver is. And we need to thank him. And then to thank him, we need to ask him, how do you want to be thanked? And he comes back to us, I don't want anything from you. I want you to become a good person. And one of those things is that you need to touch base every day, 5 times a day. You need to touch base with your roots.
Right.
You are from me. I have created you. And unto me you shall return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. He's telling us, 5 times a day, touch base with your source.
Right.
And so, get energy from me.
Exactly. So do you think that most of the challenges that are faced in the Western societies, or especially in the non-Islamic societies, by these Islamic parents is the fact that the basic root concepts of Islam are not explained properly to the non-believers? Do you think there's a lot to be done in this field?
Much has to be done to make our children, the non-believers and our children understand. When we, for example, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, I mean, if we are looking for something beyond what is within our control, maybe, but when we're saying Bismillah, we do something in the name of Allah. When we, for example, start talking and say Bismillah in the name of Allah, the very tongue that we are using and employing to speak is the manifestation of the ism of Allah.
Right.
Allah Almighty has given this tongue to me.
Allahumma bayan.
If I am using my tongue,
right,
it is Him giving me this
right.
tongue. So if I'm using and employing the tongue, it is something I'm asking help from Him by using what He has given in the proper way,
right,
in a good way. Bismillah, astaino billah. It means that I am seeking His assistance. Assistance in what form? Something beyond this world? No, the very world in which I am living,
right,
is something which He has given.
Right.
The body I possess. So if we are, it's not something that the assistance coming from Him is something beyond this, which is in my mouth. It is the very thing that He has given me.
Right.
And through Him I am talking. The understanding and the realization that whatever I do is with His assistance has to be brought home.
Right. So basically a lot could be done in this field to portray Islam in the best possible way to our children, to our non-believer you know, to non-believers living in that society, because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam even says that be a source of beauty for us. So in our practical terms, we should be doing everything that could actually attract people towards Islam rather than making them Islamophobic, so that we do not face more challenges living in the Western societies. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any queries, any questions regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, please feel free to ask us on our email ID, that is englishradio@irib.ir. In case you want to listen to our programs again, go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. There's a tab, Call of Islam, and you'll find an archive of our programs there. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.